If you're in the market for a super addictive puzzle game, you have to check out Mini Motorways on Apple Arcade. It's a city planning strategy puzzler with an incredibly satisfying gameplay loop. Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a free 1 month trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. New subscribers only, $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.
Hey everybody, welcome to day three of PAX Australia 2018. We're here at the Audio Technica booth recording a bit of a live show to do a recap of some of the cool stuff we've seen over the weekend. My name's Luke. I'm joined here by some of the crew from Pixel Sift and ourselves from Party Loaded. So we've got Luke, we've got Matt.
Hello.
Hello. We've got Sarah.
Hi.
And we've got Gianni as well.
Hello, good morning.
Excellent. And we'd like to thank Audio Technica, of course, for giving us this opportunity at their fantastic booth. Tons of great headsets, including the ones we're using here today. And if you want to check out their wares, I recommend going to Audio Technica. That's audio-technica.com.au for some great audio gear. And you could be podcasting celebrities like the rest of us. No, not really. All right. So we played a ton of games. Let's talk about them. Let's have a bit of a roundtable discussion about how the weekend's gone. So Pixel Sift pals, what's the weekend been like so far for you guys?
What's the weekend been like so far? Well, maybe we should introduce the podcast as well, because obviously we'll
Absolutely.
Be putting us on the two streams, so people might not be 100% familiar. Well, if you haven't heard Pixel Sift before, Pixel Sift is a fortnightly podcast and weekly gaming show where we talk to indie game developers from Australasia and the world, and we basically want to we ask them the question, what does it take to make games?
Yeah,
that's the thing. It doesn't matter if you make the world's best game or the world's worst game. It's still something you've made, and it's important to us that we find out what it took to get to that point. So,
yep.
Of course, and that means we were all down in the Indie Rising section, so that's pretty much what we'll be talking about. So that's Pixel Sift.
Nice. So I think we probably describe Party Loaded as a bit of a family dinner of video game fiends.
Yes. Yeah, we talk about games. We talk about the most recent games, AAA, indie, doesn't matter.
Yep.
We have a variety of different inputs. We're lucky enough to have Adrian on board. He's got a background in being a bit of a champion for accessibility.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I've got a background in game development and production.
Yep.
So I bring a bit of that knowledge to the table whenever we're having our discussions.
I'd like to think I have a background of game addiction.
Yes.
So I can kind of bring that to the table.
Yep.
But we have a good time every week for about 60 to 90 minutes, just devouring everything video gaming in the world that we can. Spitting it up and then, you know, picking over the juicy bits with forensic precision. So,
yes.
And you can be like the little birds getting fed.
That's
and it.
It
just
yes.
comes back into your mouth. Thanks, Mama Party Loaded.
So, I guess we sort of take an overview look of PAX in general. A lot of indie interest as well, but we check out some of the big publisher stuff at the same time, of which this year there's been a bit more than usual.
Oh, yeah.
It's been good to see.
Yeah.
Australia usually gets the slim pickings compared to the rest of the world, but this year they came in swinging, so...
Yeah, we were discussing the fact that, like, PAX still feels like PAX, even though EB's involved.
Yeah.
And I can't help but wonder if the fact that EB's involved is the reason why maybe we're seeing a bit more of those big publishers.
The big factor, I think, for me, is that games that were in previous years here from the big developers and the big publishers were usually out by the time they made it to PAX. And maybe you may not have had a chance to play it, but they would have been around and you would have been able to see it. And this year there's games like Smash Bros, which we're right next to and we can hear the music of, which isn't out yet. So you do get an opportunity. And things like Kingdom Hearts 3, for example. So that's a big difference, I think. And if you're keen on that, I think that's very cool. So.
Absolutely. We've got a lot of like late releases this year, I've noticed. Like, there's a lot of games coming out in mid-November to December. So it's really, really cool being here and getting to try those things out before they necessarily get released. Or even some like 2019 releases, I think. But I think it's a perfect time of the year just to kind of get in there before like all the Christmas stuff starts happening and all those games get out for their Christmas release. But it's really exciting having like such a huge Nintendo booth with like not just currently out games or just, oh, this was released yesterday, but it's at PAX now, huh? It's like, oh no, play Smash Brothers, see if you like it. Like, that's really exciting.
Yeah.
The whole Pokemon Center thing over there looks really neat as well.
Yeah, yeah. A number of people around this weekend playing Pokemon Go.
Oh, yeah.
And they had the special little unknowns spelling out the P, the A, and the X. I don't know who organized that. That was a nice touch. So, yeah, that was good. All right, well, let's dig into some actual games.
Sure.
So has anyone got any picks of the show so far they'd like to jump in with?
Picks of the game that we've seen so far. I would say probably the best thing that I have played is a game... it's hard, really hard to tell, isn't it? I've played a lot of things.
Yeah. I see a lot of very good games. In the
really,
intersection.
A lot
There's
of
so
really
many
good
great
games.
This year.
You'll go home and make a wish list.
It's hard to say.
He'll go home and just keep all the developer keys that he gets sent.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
yeah.
We didn't get any press keys. Game. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, I really liked Never Give Up by Massive Monster. So it's based on originally on a Flash series called the Give Up series. And they're just like those brutal Flash games. And I don't know if you've ever played a Massive Monster game, but they really draw on that Armor Games or the Newgrounds style. And they recently won an award for their first game that came out, well, it's their first major release, called the Adventure Pals. That won an Australian Game Developers Award on Wednesday night. So that's a really fun game. And then we didn't have the headphones up, but apparently it's got an abusive narrator in the game. So as you get worse at the game, they lay it on thick. So I'm really glad that the volume was down because I was not good at that game. But that was very good fun, one I really enjoyed. That's probably one for me.
Julian Wilson not doing the narration himself, I
No,
trust.
No, he's not. No, he's doing all the other bits and pieces. But yeah, Julian and Jay, who are a team that kind of work between, Julian's in Australia and Jay's in the UK. So they kind of like telecommute and work that way. But it was nice. Yeah. They're both down at the booth, so you can go say hi to them. So.
Nice.
For me, I really enjoyed Talking Simulator or Speaking Simulator. I keep getting the names confused. I'm pretty sure it's Speaking Simulator. But
Great game for podcasters.
Absolutely. Exactly. Absolutely hilarious, though. Especially the fact that their PAX booth had this giant, like, puppetry head that you could manipulate. It just had this tongue that was about, like, that long. But hilarious. The dev gave me a tooth in a jar. Not a real one. Fake one. But nonetheless, I was like, you're my favorite. You're my favorite person here now. But I really enjoyed the way the game looks. And it was really cool talking to them about where they, I guess, decided they wanted to take the game. I think the dev was watching one of the Dark Knight films where Harvey Dent loses half his face. And they're watching the way that the muscles of the tongue move. They're just like, that's not real. Like, that's not accurate. So they did a shit ton of research into making sure their game, it was all relatively accurate as far as, like, you know, okay, well, when you make this noise with your mouth, your tongue moves in this specific spot. So, you know, you're playing the game, like, you have to contort this tongue, you've got to push this button here in the roof of the mouth, or this one there, and it looks so difficult, but at the same time, it looks so fun. It's like a challenge game, and almost like a puzzle game to try and get it right. So, especially because the more you fail, the more the robot kind of, its face starts to break.
Right.
So then, like, you know, you're trying to pretend that you're human, then it gets more stressful as time goes on. The more mistakes you make, the more stressful it is, the more your face starts to fall apart. I thought that was just utterly hilarious.
Was it sophisticated enough to handle raspberries? Is that something you could do?
I would really like to go and find out.
Yep.
I would love to find out now. I'm not entirely sure. I watched Mitch play. I haven't had a chance to check it out myself. But I definitely want to give that one a tackle today. Very
cool. Any game that's like an X simulator? Like, they're either hit and miss. It's good to hear that one's a hit.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's definitely, it found its niche, and it's trying to do that really, really well.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to talk about a game that I know Matt won't, because he's actually been involved in working on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got the pleasure to check out The Dark Room this weekend, which, of course, is the latest title from Stirfire Studios, based on the live stage show of the same name. Mr. John Robertson, who's been sort of taking that show from Australia across the UK for a number of years now. And it was the first time that Dark Room as a live show actually made it to PAX.
Yeah.
And so we got to sit down for a good 2 hours of solid entertainment and lols and really, you know, lose our minds to that. And I tell you what, once you've actually seen the stage show, not that the game isn't great without it, but once you've seen it, I think it's a whole new appreciation for actually sort of, you know, submitting yourself to that, you know, the BDSM of walking simulators, it's called. Yeah, actually sitting down. Based on the old school sort of text-based adventure games where you sort of have a couple of options, you know, up to four options on screen, and you have to pick one. And in this case, you've actually got a fully mode-capped version of John as the guardian in the middle of the screen, basically telling you how terrible you are. And that, you know, once you've done something wrong, you die. So,
yes. Yeah,
highly recommend checking that one out. It's a lot of fun. In early access at the moment, but extra rooms are being added as that one gets worked on. So,
yep,
good time.
We're dropping patches all the time.
Yep.
Like, there's always a brand new patch. We literally just recently added a patch for that. That added a whole bunch of new achievements.
Yep.
So it's like doubled up on the number of achievements that were in the game.
I'm not a massive sort of hunter of achievements, but I'll make the effort for this one.
Yeah. Though my favorite line for that one is still the Dark Souls of text-based adventure games.
Yep. It's accurate. Yeah.
My favorite, though, has definitely been Necrobarista. Yep. Going over and playing that. I've got a friend that's actually currently writing for that, Damon. So this is totally not biased, by the way. But having sat down and actually played through the demo they have here at PAX, it's super interesting because I was kind of expecting a standard narrative game, you know. So, okay, well, I'm gonna get a whole bunch of dialogue, and then it's going to give me like four options that will give me a chance to define who I am as a character, and then I'll be able to go and have this branching narrative. But it's nothing like that. It's more like this story that's just kind of unfolding. At least as far as the PAX demo goes, it's this story that's unfolding. It pops up with keywords that you can go and click on through the dialogue. You can learn a bit more about the characters and the world. And you can collect those keywords. You can only have a couple of them at a time. Mm. And the game goes and says that having these different keywords is actually important. That by having certain keywords, they'll unlock specific parts of the story. So it becomes this whole thing of guessing, okay, well, is this keyword going to be important later on?
See, that reminds me of the old adventure games. But I wonder, the old adventure games used to be punishing because if you missed the bit where you needed to grab that thing, sorry, you're stuck.
It's like the insult sword fighting from Monkey Island.
Exactly, right? If you didn't have it all there, you're in trouble. But I wonder how they're going to sort of balance out it. Yeah. Is it just sort of increases the branching narrative in that way, or is it something that, you know, you're not going to get the...
Yeah, who knows? Like, it's going to be really, really interesting.
That's an old-fashioned way of designing
games. It's a very old-fashioned, But certainly in the PAX demo as well, like, there's a moment where it's suddenly, okay, you're now first person. You can go and explore the cafe and wander around and pick up objects. So I suppose it's a good thing to actually say. So Necrobarista, you basically play... I don't know if you actually play as her or if it's just a story about her, but it's this girl that is a barista. She works at a cafe making coffee.
Yep.
And she's also a necromancer. She found a book of necromancy, and she can do stuff with the dead. Yeah,
in a bookshop in Carlton or something like that.
Yeah, it's actually based in Melbourne.
Yeah.
The opening cinematic is very, very anime. I love it. It's really, really cool. The art style's fantastic. Yeah. Like, it looks gorgeous.
I can just picture the milky froth on top of the lattes actually being like a ghost trying to escape.
Well, I think I read on their website, or it was in the game and I was playing it, and I clicked on some key moments. They were just like, oh yeah, so she just casually infuses her coffee with the souls of the dead, makes a good cuppa, and I was like,
look, as long as amazing. It's the right temperature, you know, I'm really too worried.
As long as it doesn't burn my mouth as I'm walking to the office, fine.
Not about that. Yeah.
Hell of a good coffee.
another really interesting one that we saw was a game called Iluri, which is it's from students from AIE who've just graduated. So this is the first game they've ever shown off at PAX. It has a beautiful sort of art style. It's like very picture book painted sort of puzzle thing, sort of platformer. And it's just really, really amazing to look at. But one thing that they interestingly have done, they've built this kind of world, which is kind of a fantasy world where, there's sort of magic and monsters and things. But they've kind of tied it in with sort of an environmental message as well. So they've got creatures in the world that are really rare and that are sort of, you know, just about to disappear.
Yep.
And they're under pressure in this world as well. So there's the real things like the burrowing owl and, you're a red panda that you play through. So it was a really nice little interesting game. And it's kind of in a spot that probably most people wouldn't have been walking right through. But it's definitely one to check out. It's made by, a small student team. So
cool.
Very cool. So.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a big fan of rhythm games, and if I remember correctly, when we did this last year, I talked a bit about a game called Spin Rhythm, which was a sort of mixed
deck. So I've spent 4 hours at Spin Rhythm, and they told me to go away, sir. Please let someone else have a go.
That's a good game. I'm not going to talk about it this year, though, because I think we sort of gave it its due last year. But another one in the PAX Rising area of a similar sort of beat, syncing up your sound to your gameplay theme was Soundfall. Now, Soundfall was a load of fun. It reminded me a lot of a top-down kind of brawler, almost like a MOBA in a way, cooperative, so you've got four players. But it looked a lot to me like a Crypt of the Necrodancer-style cooperative game where you're sort of running around with a bunch of other fighters and trying to sync your attacks and sort of pistol shots to the beat. But what they've done is actually been extremely clever this time in not just having the beat on a bar on the bottom of the screen. Every part of the scenery actually pulses with the beat
That's
in
nice.
The game. So you don't have to draw your eye away from the action. You can actually look at the trees going boop, 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 and the
trees
the
go
tiles.
Bop and the...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The tiles flashing on the ground too. It looks like a dance floor. Yeah. No, it's a great game. So, you know, it looks like this sort of thing that's procedurally generated, a lot of replayability, you know, good time to sort of get in. I mean, people who are fans of Diablo and that kind of thing will probably enjoy that. So, yeah, good. Looks like a good time.
Mm. I like to think of it. It's like Bastion by way of Guitar Hero.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
So
that's
yeah.
really nice. I can't wait to play it now.
Yeah. Very, very cool. I mean, there's plenty of other stuff, but you guys obviously have been checking out some of the high-profile things as well.
You
can talk about indies
that.
A lot.
Do we have to? We gotta. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No, Rage 2.
Yeah.
I went over to Rage 2, and I'm like, I wasn't a huge fan at all of Rage 1. I really tried to like it because I like the Mad Max feel kind of world. The advertising for Rage 2 with all the color has been really, really interesting, and it certainly caught my eye, but I wasn't sold.
Yeah.
So the first thing that we tried to get to when we got to PAX was Rage 2. So it's like, there's going to be a line for it wherever it is.
It was a little hidden, but we found it eventually.
We found it eventually.
Yep.
Got on there, played it, and yeah, so I'll probably be pre-ordering that when I get back home.
Enamored was the word I think we could use.
Yes.
Yep. It was very, very cool.
So I've been describing it to people as like, you imagine a game that has the momentum of Doom, the most recent Doom. It has the gunplay of Wolfenstein. It has the superpowers of Destiny. It has the kind of hints of comedy in there that's Borderlands-esque.
Yep.
It has the Mad Max feel. It's like, this is a whole bunch of stuff I really like that's just been jam-packed into a game that has a lot of pink.
Every best every best sort of shooter on the market currently. It's just like, yep, tick, tick.
It looks really good.
The ragdolling was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So Match managed to shotgun a guy's legs out from under him, and he flew backwards and sent a sign spinning and sent the TV crashing down on top of him as well from the wall that it was hanging on.
Yeah.
You know, some fun stuff in there. And pink, lots of pink.
So much pink. Like, the thing I think I enjoy the most about that is, like, I like shotguns in Destiny, but shotguns in Rage 2 feel powerful.
Yeah.
It feels like you've got this vacuum that's set to reverse. It's got such a huge blast of air, it just sends people off their feet.
Yeah.
Right? And... yeah, so you're running around and shooting these people, just watching them fly across the room, smack into a wall, leave a big crunch in the wall from the shotgun blast. It's like, wow, that feels... this is really morbid, but it feels good.
It's packed. We're right, yeah. I can't not mention probably the most impressive marketing initiative that I've seen of the big publishers of PAX this year, and that's the Hitman 2 booth. So IO...
I hadn't seen that. It must have been stealthing around somewhere.
The Hitman booth, you blink and you miss it. Not. Yeah. So they prepared for the queuing situation by actually having a second option for people lining up for the demo. You can shave some time off the line by actually sitting down and having your head shaved in the Agent 47 style and getting the barcode temporary tattoo on the back of your neck. And I don't think they anticipated how popular that option was going to be.
There's a lot of very bold people walking around PAX now.
Haircuts are expensive, let's be fair. So, you know.
Living marketing for the game.
And when you've got to find time in your day to go get a haircut, might as well get it while you're here.
Yeah, and skip a line as well. Actually save some time.
And if you go all the way back, you got more value out of that haircut. Cause longer before you need the next one. So
it's a game I was happy to queue for, though. Well, I didn't have to queue, but I would have been happy to queue.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
not happy to shave your head.
No, I'm not going to do that. I mean, have you seen these locks? Come on. Yeah. The innovation in the gameplay, though, like, there was a panel on Friday, which was literally, you know, Hitman, 6 million ways to die. And the game has got so much emergent sort of gameplay, sort of option to the way you can take out your targets. The I think it was a Rio map that they were doing as the demo, which was actually you're trying to take out two multi-millionaire sort of tech moguls, and that were involved in
fair
sort
enough.
Of black
they've got
market
coming to them.
Yeah. Black market weapons trading, that kind of stuff.
Oh, as you do.
One of them's a race car driver, and one of them's just like a guy who's sort of touring around one of the buildings. It was actually possible, and we saw through the panel how they could do this, to actually lure the guy up onto the roof and push him off onto the racetrack while his daughter was driving and take them both out in one hit. So it's a pretty impressive thing you can get away with in that game. That's good.
Literally the first thing I went and did in that, it's like, it tells you, okay, so we've left your weapons down in the car park. You can go get them from this red van. And so I'm like, okay, well, I don't know where else I'm going to go, so I may as well go down there. And on the way, it's popping up and it's saying there's a clue nearby. And here's this guy in a pink flamingo mascot outfit. on his phone talking about the fact that he's apparently gone and knocked out the actual guy that was supposed to be wearing the Pink Flamingo outfit. And, you know, he's lost his car keys, though, which means that he can't get the blackmail, which means they can't get money. It's like all these little hints that it's dropping about stuff you can probably use later on. But, of course, I had to go and knock him out to take the Pink Flamingo suit off of him now. And then I just wandered around in a Pink Flamingo suit, had a good day.
Yep. You kind of had to kill someone at some point, but that's not the point.
One thing I really want to mention, because we're talking about obviously the high profile glitz and glamour, the noise and the shouting out for t-shirts and all that sort of stuff. But if you want to get a sort of a nicer, quieter experience or have a look at some stuff, if you've got some time, you probably, I don't know, you won't probably hear this until PAX is over, so probably not. But have a look at the games that are on at the next exhibit. Now, that's organized by Ali McLean, who's from Third Sense, formerly of Robot House.
Yep.
And Liam Esler, formerly of GDAA, and now on his own, doing great game stuff. And it's basically a whole showcase of diverse games that normally wouldn't get into the main thing because there's challenges for those creators, and it's an opportunity for people to see these games. And one of the people you can meet down there is a guy called Brad Hennessy, and he's made a game called An Aspie Life, and it basically tries to get people to sort of understand the experience of what it's like living with Asperger's. So he's quite young. I think he's even still like in high school. Pretty young, really, or maybe just out of high school and uni. But it's a really fascinating game, but it's a really good experience to kind of check that out, and a nice contrast to all of the flashing
the
lights and like. Yeah, and I think it's a good opportunity, as you said, you've got it's something that we want to see is a lot of different voices making games all around the place and seeing those people get an opportunity to show it. So that was something I really enjoyed checking out. So
I don't know about you guys, but last year, I think there was like two PUBG stages at like kind of opposite ends of the convention center, kind of intersecting like the indie section and the AAA section. And it was the most obnoxious thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I have been so happy that it's kind of like everything's kind of in the same spot over in that direction.
Yeah.
And we don't have like two different PUBG groups all screaming out at each other these days. Like, I don't know. I feel like the general setup of PAX this year has probably been one of the best ones I've been to. I love that the indie section is right where people walk in.
Yep.
It's a bit more quiet, a bit more, maybe not peaceful, but like you can kind of hear what's going on around you. Even if Smash Brothers is loud next to us, like it still kind of feels breathable. I feel like that maybe each year PAX just gets better and better. I mean, I went the first year, I then skipped the year, I went last year and then this year. How have you guys kind of been taking it so far in that regard? Like, do you think it's better or
worse? I've been taking it in the veins as quick and as hard as I can. No, seriously, you still don't have enough time to get to everything. You kind of have to just make peace with that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Especially if you're going to spend a significant amount of time in PAX Rising for the indie content.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's just so much. It even feels like it's bigger this year.
Yeah.
As far as, like, the amount of games showcasing and the amount of quality as well. Like, there's so many amazing things to see this year. It's been quite an incredible experience.
And I totally agree with you. Like, the people that are going to need that foot traffic the most are the indie.
Absolutely.
Right? And so having them right by the doors, like they're over by the queue doors, but they're also right near the other entry doors that people typically go through later in the day.
Yeah.
And so I think that's fantastic, right? Because everybody's going to come in, they're going to be like, well, I want to play Rage 2. So the fact that Rage 2 is kind of hidden away isn't that big a deal, right? You know, the Hitman 2 booth is huge. It's really hard to miss. But it's really encouraging to see, like, you know, we exhibited a couple of years ago, and foot traffic around the indie area wasn't that great, but this year it's fantastic. Like, you go to the indie area and it's almost like shoulder to shoulder sometimes. I've stood in line waiting for a small indie game to be playable for like 10 minutes, which is actually a really uplifting experience.
Absolutely,
as a developer myself, right? Like, it's like, that's really exciting. If even half of these people go out and buy that game on Steam, that's huge. That's going to be big for them, right?
Yeah.
That pushes them towards the top of Steam. So
I'd suggest to people, if you're actually touring through the PAX Rising area and trying to get a game in on a particular indie station, you know, talk to the developers while you're waiting.
Yeah.
So, you know, having that extra 5 minutes or so to chat to the person who's actually made the game that's right in front of you. Every one of them's got a really interesting story to tell.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, we've probably had some of the most engaging and fun times at PAX just talking to devs before we've interviewed them. Because we can have these beautiful, real conversations with them, and, you know, and so many of them have such fascinating stories behind how their game came about, or like, you know, where the team comes from, or like how it even got to PAX. And it's so uplifting seeing these people that kind of have been so humble, but are at this such an incredible event, getting to show their games, having so many people come through and play them.
Yeah.
It's been really wonderful.
Like the Quantum Suicide dev, her and I met back a few years ago in Japan while she was exhibiting, and that was like Oh, geez, that'd be like 2016 or something, 2015, 2016. Because we were over there showing off Symphony. And then every year since, we've met in a completely different location in the world. So we met last time, I think it was over in San Francisco. It's just, it's really interesting to then hear the, you know, okay, what's the last year been like for you, right? Like, where are you at now? It's really cool because that you see the sort of passion and excitement that they have. Because she's on the final stretch now. She's talking about the fact that she's currently working 40-hour weeks and sometimes like 16-hour days. I'm like, don't do that. But it's really, really interesting. 9 out of 10 times when I'm ever going over to these booths, I'm not actually playing the game. I'm just talking to the devs, right? Because you can see the game and it's like, okay, that looks really cool. All right. How you doing?
You can do that online.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
So this final stretch being a thing, we've got a handful of hours left in the final day of PAX.
Yeah.
So what is on the agenda to hit before everything wraps up today?
So yeah. I'm gonna play a video game, I think.
A maybe video game. Maybe, really,
maybe
Johnny?
One of them.
I know somewhere you could do that.
Yeah. It's funny for us. I mean, we spend so much time checking out all the games and talking to people, but you don't get a lot of chance to actually like sit and play things.
Yeah.
It's like real life in a way, you know?
Wow, yeah.
We're an indie games podcast. I know. How many of you played?
sleep when you're dead, John.
I played a lot. But yeah, no, I just would like to go and have a look at some stuff and spend a bit more time and just do that. But I actually am really, really looking forward to just wandering around looking at all the student stuff that's here. Because the student efforts are usually the people who will be here in the student booth 1 year, and then they will be on the PAX Rising floor the next day. Yeah. So yeah, it's a really good sort of thing to see. And you come back to them as well. You recognize them from the next year and you're like, oh, thank you so much for coming back. And you're like, yeah, no, great. Your game was fantastic when you were a student game. And now it's even better. And it's amazing to see that development of people. Yeah. So that's what I really love doing. And yeah, maybe I'll play a board game. Just do something offline. Yeah.
Good God.
Just roll a few dice or something like that and just chill out. So
You want to spend money on dice?
Woo. I don't want to spend money on dice. There's plenty of dice over there that I don't need to spend money on. They just give them to you, Luke. And then you just give them back at the end, and then you don't have to look after them. It's an amazing system.
Johnny, you could get a giant foam dice. Just like slam that thing on the table and be like, all right, I'm here to play.
I
don't know if you're all ready for Monopoly, but boom!
talk to Mr. High Roller here with his dice fetishes.
I have a problem. I literally have something like 15 different dice sets.
Yeah,
like it's because you have to play like 14 different simultaneous games.
Yeah, that's exactly
right.
Yeah. I am GMing like 5 different games at the same time. It's really difficult. No. I see pretty colors. It's like, oh wow, that's a really pretty set of dice. Then I'll buy it and I'll just sit on myself and I'll never actually use it for anything.
So I think it's fair to say, we can say about this, nerds are like birds and they like shiny things. And if you've been to PAX on either side, you're just like, oh.
Yep. Yeah. This year I was like, I'm not going to buy any dice. And then I went and spent $150 on buying a quartz set of dice. And it's like, that's incredibly pretty. It's going to sit in this wooden box on my shelf.
That's it.
And we make so much fun of the jewelry market.
Yeah. You should see the markup on dice. It's only acrylic and sometimes it's metal, but mate.
Oh, yeah.
The primo.
They know their customers.
So what are you guys checking out on your final day?
Yeah, I've still got a lot of PAX Rising to do. So, you know, we've managed to knock off a lot of the big publishers on day one. But I feel like I've not touched enough of what's going on there, especially the next booth you're mentioning outside as well. Got to get to that. I'm feeling fairly good about the amount of things we've crammed in this year. You know, fifth year running for me, I've got a process. Seems to be working. Bit of practice doesn't hurt. Yep.
Yep. For me, it's like I've had the experience of PAX as an exhibitor. I've had the experience of PAX as just an attendee. This year, doing it a bit more as media and actually trying to get in as many games as possible has been really good. But as you know, the best laid plans, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to play all these games. And then I end up standing there and talking to a game developer for a full half hour, and I never actually play their game. So I'll be probably heading out to the next booth as well to play some of that. I definitely need to head over and play Teleblast because, you know, Perth game developers represent.
Yep. Nice.
Tim Valletta.
Yeah, 5 from Perth this
year. Yeah, I know. It's really good. So yeah, I'll be definitely hitting up PAX Rising as well. Like that's my big focus today. PAX Rising and next. Yeah.
Sarah, what are you up to?
Oh, I have no idea. I'm probably going to go check out, I think there's a big Quake tournament going on just over in that direction at like 1 o'clock. So I'm definitely very keen to check that out because I met a bunch of the local players recently and some of them are fantastic, extremely good at the game and also really lovely people.
Yeah.
So I definitely want to go see if I recognize any faces in the crowd or on the stage. And it's so exciting coming to PAX and getting to watch like Rainbow Six Siege or PUBG or Quake or whatever, CSGO, and you know, seeing like some of the best players in the country just get up and like do their thing. And it's so incredible to kind of see like, you know, real mastery at a competitive game. Mm, just kind of showcase. So that's definitely like,
and you get the feeling of being in the crowd as well that you don't get if you're watching it online.
Absolutely,
you know, you get that
yeah.
sort of like,
there's like a solidarity or seeing cosplayers watching their favorite game yeah. dressed as one of the characters on stage. Yeah. It's really exciting for me as I'm definitely a fan of the competitive scene. It's really cool getting to be here and seeing other people that are also keen or seeing a player that you might recognize. Like I used to work with a guy in one of the former Australian Rainbow Six Siege competitive players, and I just casually worked in the same office as him
for ages.
And I was like, oh, you play Rainbow Six Siege, yeah. Then all my friends was like, you know that guy? And he's like, just work, just do QA stuff together. It's
small world. Yeah.
He's a jerk. He never cleaned out the fridge.
Yeah. Shoots real good. Yeah.
That's definitely the peak for me. I'm definitely very keen to watch some competitive games.
Well, it's a lot of fun.
Playing competitively is one thing, but playing competitively on stage in front of a huge audience.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
No pressure whatsoever.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been, I guess, Party Sift.
Party 2018.
Yeah. We'll be back again next year, I suspect, to do more of this and have another fun time. But
Luke,
yeah.
Where can people find you online if they want to check you out?
Well, I think these days you can find us at every other spot, which is partyloaded.com on Facebook, Twitter, which is
at Party Loaded Show, I
that's
think.
The one, yep. And we're doing a lot more Twitch these days as well, so hit us up at twitch.tv/partyloaded. And Pixel Sift, of course.
Well, you can check out all the indie videos that we've been doing over the weekend. So that's on the Paxel Sift hashtag.
Yep.
Or you can just go to our Twitter.
Or you can go to our Twitter, which is
Pixel Sift.
Just Pixel Sift
on Twitter.
Facebook
and Instagram are the same. They're just Pixel Sift. And on YouTube, we're Pixel Sift AU, where all our videos will be there as well.
Twitch,
we are just Pixel Sift again.
Nailed it.
Yep.
Good work. Yeah, so we've done a whole bunch of interviews throughout the weekend, and we're going to be putting up more bits and pieces next week as well for other bits and pieces you can have a look at. But yeah, just have a look, and if you haven't had a chance to come down to PAX, you can kind of live a little bit of what it's like to be through the Indie Rising 4.
So. Yeah. And if not, start planning for next year, because
we'll see you there.
Same bad time, same bad channel.
Yep, definitely.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
We'll catch you next time.
See ya.
If you're in the market for a super addictive puzzle game, you have to check out Mini Motorways on Apple Arcade. It's a city planning strategy puzzler with an incredibly satisfying gameplay loop. Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a free 1 month trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. New subscribers only, $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.